Hello and welcome into another edition of 90 Day Our Way. I am one half of your co-hosts. I am John.
I'm the other half. I'm Lindsay. Sorry, I was warming up my vocals.
Oh, thanks, Libby.
Anytime.
So, episode 4. So, had some, I guess, normal things pop up in this.
Literally, like, the same this, drama.
Yeah, it was like almost like a carryover episode. Baby talk, as always. Meeting with moms. Families not getting along. The typical stuff we see. We're kind of in that mid-season lull,
It's the beginning of the season.
Yeah, but I feel like we're kind of in that mid-season lull. Like, we saw the storylines that we're going to be seeing, and now it's just like when they kind of drag them on a little bit at this point.
You know, you said baby talk, and I thought you were talking about someone, like, doing baby talk, not, like, them talking about babies. So I was like, who the fuck was talking like a baby? But then I realized what you were saying.
There you go. All right. Who do you want to start us off with?
You want to go to Jenny and submit?
Sure.
Why not?
So Jenny and Submit are heading on their honeymoon, and they're visiting the beauty of India.
I literally don't even know where they're going.
Yeah, I forget the name of it, but
it looked beautiful.
Yes, yeah, Submit said it's the beauty of India. It's outside the city. There's mountains, there's rivers, there's all these different types of activities to do. But we learn on the way there, that they've officially moved back to the old house because of Jenny's visa. Has that address, and she never updated it.
But, like, what the fuck was the point of getting the second house? I mean, so that they didn't come and, like, steal him or whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't understand what the point of it was. And then she's all upset and, like, PTSD and all this shit. And it's like, honey, you're fine.
Yeah, so they talk about, like, the different types of things there are to do there. And Jenny's like, I just want to relax and lay down next to the river. And then you have Samin. He's like, well, they have cliff jumping and zip lining and hiking and camping. And I want to do all of this. And it seems like Jenny's not about it.
Yeah, I wrote down that Samin is the adventurous one and Jenny is not. I think this really feeds into the storyline they're trying to go with this episode, where Submit is young and wild and free, and Jenny just wants to live the retired life. Which, I don't blame her. Like, she worked, she did her time, now she should relax.
Sure. Yeah, there. And Submit also mentioned they're going there for, like, mental health purposes. They do a lot of, like, mental cleanses and things like that. So
I'm sure, like, a shit ton of yoga, some Reiki, like, you know, all that Eastern medicine stuff that, like, us in America don't believe in.
Yeah, and so it's painful for Submit to see how upset his parents are. When they get to the hotel room, he kind of brings that up, and Jenny wants him to move on from that situation, but it seems like no matter what they do, where they go, what they talk about, it seems like this is the reoccurring theme in their relationship.
Yeah, so they get to the hotel, and they check in, and the front desk worker, they called him concierge. I didn't think he was a concierge person. He's like, why are you here? And Smith's like, it's our honeymoon. And I don't know why fucking TLC interviewing these random ass people. And the guy goes, it was a little strange that they're married and just, you know, got married. Like, if I got married, my family would disown me. It was like, who the hell is this man? But also, like, you work in a resort in India, you don't see people like, obviously Sumit is from India, but you don't see people that come there from different countries that might be of Indian descent that might have marriages that aren't that common. I don't know. That was every thought that was running through my brain during that.
I would guess they don't see many. That would be my thinking, especially in the sense of the Indian individual being much younger, a much younger man, and the woman being much older. I feel like if they do see it, it's flipped in the sense of the Indian man is older and the woman is younger. So that's probably a little, I guess, eye-opening for the concierge that was working there.
So then they go into their hotel room, and there's roses everywhere. There's a nice little, like, dove kissing thing on the bed.
Swans.
With the doves.
Swans.
Swans. Swans kissing thing on the bed with the towels. The tub is filled with flowers, and it's warm. And we get a quick glimpse into the sex life of Jenny and Sumit.
Yeah, just taking some risque photos with their all of their clothes on.
Yeah, so
very strange.
Jenny lays on the bed with the swans and puts a rose in her mouth. And, like, you can tell Sumit is...
He's into it.
He's into it. He's getting pretty hot and bothered with it. And then Sumit takes pictures, and he's like, what do you want me to do? And Jenny's like, you know, make those sexy poses. And I was like, damn, Sumit. So you already know they're into some kinky shit.
I'm sure. And as they're going around the room and stuff, Jenny mentions that she's excited to turn up the heat. So that to me was pretty funny. I was like, oh.
I totally missed that.
Yeah, it was when they were testing the water in the tub.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm excited to turn up the heat. It's like, oh, okay.
Ooh, okay, all right.
But yeah, they're definitely into some weird stuff.
So then they start talking about work.
Yeah, Sumit brings it up out of nowhere, it seems like. And he's like, yeah, you know, I do feel like I should work. And Jenny's like, what?
Like, literally 2 minutes before you were taking these sexy ass photos. And then 2 minutes later, yeah. It was just like, I should work.
So he's thinking about restarting his food business with his friend.
Which, who knew that he had a food business?
I think they mentioned it either in the previous season or this season two ago.
But when we got their backstory, the OG backstory,
yeah.
He was like a telemarketer.
Yeah, yeah. But I think he did this too, and they just like never really brought it up. They brought it up, I think, like twice.
Got it. Okay, I was confused.
But yeah,
by
it was never
story.
Like, this is what he specifically does, like, for a living. But yeah. So
yeah,
he's
like,
thinking,
I thought he worked in the call center and, like, yeah, was telling me if my phone worked or not.
So he's thinking about restarting that, which I think is pretty cool. And then he's also saying that he'll work 6 days a week and take Mondays off.
And Jenny is heated.
Yeah, she's not about it. She's like, you got to spend more time with your wife, like, only one day.
And what kind of life is that, working 6 days a week? It's like, babe, you're not in America. Like, I mean, even working 5 days a week is shitty and terrible, and we have a terrible work system here. But
that's a bigger issue.
Yeah, but in India, I'm sure they work like 7 days a week.
Yeah, they do. I think 6 days is like the norm.
Yeah, especially if you're running your own business. Usually,
yeah,
when
you're
a business owner, you work every single day.
Yeah, and you very rarely take time off. I know, like, when my parents had their restaurant business, I mean, they worked 7 days a week, 15, 16-hour days, 360 days a year, taking off, like, Christmas, Thanksgiving. That actually might be the only 2 days they took off all year.
Yeah, I mean, that's what happens when you own your own business.
Yeah, you have to be there.
You have to, but...
My thought process with that was... He's saying that, which makes sense. And I, like, kind of spun it to her and was like, does she seriously think like he's not going to work his entire life? But at the same time, it's not the time and the place to discuss this.
No, I was totally on her side when she was like, where the fuck is this coming from? Like, why are we talking about this on our honeymoon?
Yeah.
But also, the one thing I've realized I can't stand about Jenny is everything is about her. It's not, oh, well, Sumit hasn't worked and like, you know, we should be making money or he's still young, like he should be working. It's all, well, I sacrificed a lot and I have money and I'm by myself and I'm. And that's every conversation that they have. It's all about her feelings and not his.
And also, eventually, your money is going to run out.
Your money's going to run out. And he's also in his 30s. Like,
yeah.
God.
This is what I was going to say, right? So, God, like, just say she lives another 20 years, right?
Yeah.
So she'll be 83. He'll be 53. He's still working age.
He
has 30 years more to work.
That's my thing. I mean, even if she lives another 30 years and, you know, it's hard for me, I think, to comprehend that because my parents are her age, but, like, if my dad worked another 30 years and his hypothetical wife was Sumit's age, his wife would still be just retiring.
Yeah.
So you need money.
Yeah, and eventually your Social Security and everything is going to run out, so you need to have some source of an income.
And that TLC money is going to run out eventually.
Yeah, so even if he, like, does this and, you know, grinds it out for, say, however many years and then, you know, opens up another place or is able to hire people that can run it for him, like, who knows, 5-10 years down the road, maybe he's still the owner and he goes in every day, but he's not there 10, 12, 14 hours a day. He's there, you know, 4 or 5 or 6 hours a day.
Like, and it's not...
It's a long-term thing.
Okay, and trust me, I know you're all thinking, well, like, put yourself in her shoes. Trust me, I've been there before. Jonathan used to work 7 days a week, 12-hour days, every single day. And it's really hard for someone whose love language is quality time and someone is working that much. I totally get it. But it's not like they don't have kids. They're not going to have kids. It's not like he's missing out on that time. And I understand she's by herself, but maybe this is a time where she can get involved more in her community or get involved in Hare Krishna or whatever she wants to do. Like, and Sumit says he never goes anywhere without Jenny.
Yeah.
So maybe he does want some independence. Who knows?
I'm sure he does. I'm sure he wants to, like, get away for a little bit. Like, yeah, you're married and stuff, but at the same time, like, you need your own friends. You need, like, me time. And even if you're working, like, that's not necessarily me time, but it's also time where you're not sitting in a room with your significant other for 20 hours a day.
You see how he treats me, everyone? I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. No, I mean, it's hard, and I get it, and I understand Jenny's argument. I just think it's very selfish. And that's her and every single argument is that it's very selfish.
I agree. Anything else on them?
No,
I think,
like,
that covered it.
I like the drama they're giving us this year.
It's not just the family.
Oh, thank God. Thank God we got that out of the way in the first 2 episodes.
Who do you want to head over to next?
Let's go to Bilal and Shaida.
All right, so Bilal and Shaida are going decor shopping.
Can I just say, before we start with them, how sick I am of them.
Yeah, I'm pretty over them.
Like, super over them.
It's like I know exactly what they're both going to say every time.
Every
now.
Time. Every
like,
time.
Can we, like, get somebody else in here? So, so they're going decor shopping because Shaida wants to buy something for the house so it feels more like hers.
Okay. What did this... The beginning scene remind you of?
The beginning scene?
Like when they first get to the store and they're looking at the prices and everything.
I don't know.
Patrick and Thais.
Oh, yeah.
It totally was a full recreation.
Yeah, it was like the same shit.
It was the same shit where she wants something in the house. He doesn't want to spend money. All this stuff. I mean, you shouldn't spend fucking $300 on a pillow. I do agree with Bilal on that. But you got the money.
Yeah, she was saying like how... And she was even telling the store associate or saleswoman, whatever her title is, but she was saying how the house looks like a bachelor pad. And I was like, honestly, it looks like he's ready to sell the house. It looks like it's out of like Susie Homemaker magazine and he's ready to put the house on the market. I don't think it looks like a bachelor pad.
So there is a rumor on Reddit for a while. I don't know if it's still there. That wasn't even their house because of how pristine that house looked. Like, it was like an Airbnb house. I mean, come to find out that, like, it actually is their house and stuff. But how perfect it looked, like, people were speculating that it was just, like, a film house. Like, not they didn't really live there.
No, that's just how he is. So he probably knows all the people to, like, do all the work and stuff and probably hired professionals to come in and decorate and... to hang stuff and like all that. But yeah, I would not say it looks like a bachelor pad.
Not at all. I mean, I would want to live there. It's got nice ass floors, got good decor.
So as they're going through, as Lindsay alluded to, they're talking about the pillow and stuff. And then Bilal stumbles upon a book, Spender versus Saver.
Okay, no, the book was
the
like...
The page was labeled Spender
the
versus Saver.
The book was like, advice for newlyweds or some shit like that.
Yeah. And Bilal wants Shida to understand currency in the U.S., which I agree.
That was hilarious. So he...
the conversion.
Yeah, so she's looking at something and it's like $150 or whatever. And he's like, okay, so we do this. We times it by 6.7 because that's what the conversion rate is. So in Trinidad, this costs $2,700.
It's like, excuse me? It's like a little backgammon game.
But, you know, they talk about money and Shida has a point. Like, he has expensive suits. He has, like, expensive luggage that we found out, like, all this stuff. He obviously spends his money on him, but to me it was like, okay, we're just recycling Patrick and Thais right now.
Yeah, there's things to spend money on and there's things to not spend money on, and a $350 pillow is something to not spend money on because you could just go to Target and get that same pillow for $30.
Yo, so, and Target pillows are legit, so
yeah. But that was funny. And then they make their way over to the other side of the store, which Shida definitely knew about.
You think?
Yes. Come on.
I don't know.
She's going to look up a place that's decor and then all of a sudden
she's
the other side.
She's not driving.
She got a phone.
Whatever.
She got Google.
Whatever.
Exactly. So she says, if I don't get a baby by 40, he is going to pay.
Okay, so she obviously has baby fever right now. Like, baby inferno, not even fever.
Yeah.
And Bilal says they're not having a kid this year so they can get to know each other, which I think this is the first time I've ever agreed with him.
Yeah, he was saying how he wants to work on living together before a baby and strengthening their relationship.
It makes sense. You literally just got married. A, we found out beginning of this season, not even 90 Day OG, that they had only spent 7 days together.
Yeah.
And then she moves over here. You pull that stupid fucking prank on her. And then, you know, you guys are arguing back and forth. You have all this drama with your baby mama. Like, you should get to know each other. You should understand how you both work and operate. And, I mean... he has two kids. Shida can show how she's a mother and all this stuff. So I completely agree with Bilal on this.
Yeah, as do I. And then that's when Shida mentions how she wants to go to a fertility doctor next week. And yeah,
like, where did that, like, honey, you need to make it in at least a month in advance.
And she wants to know how much more time she has, which I get that. But, like, is 2 weeks going to be different from 3 months? Like, is that really going to change that much? Probably not.
It's not, though. Like, to me, it is, I understand she's getting older. She wants to check her fertility. She yeah. wants to make sure that she has viable eggs. Like, all this stuff. I understand getting older as a woman is scary, especially when you don't have your own children. But to Jonathan's point, like, is it really going to change in, like, a week versus a month versus 2 months? Like, probably not.
Yeah. And even, like, Bilal said, they still have 2 years. And he's like, we're not doing it this year. So make the appointment, like, 6 months from now or something and continue to work on the relationship and get better together. Because, like Bilal said, as he picked up the clothing, as soon as this happens, your whole life changes. So you need to be in a positive, healthy relationship before adding a child into the mix. Because if you don't, it's just going to make all of those problems that much worse.
100%. So now we see Bilal. He's going to the mosque to give away a food.
Yeah, he's meeting with his mother.
With his mom. Did he say they do it during Ramadan? Or, like, more during Ramadan?
I forget exactly what he said.
I thought so. And I was like, oh, this will give us a good indication on when this was filmed. But Ramadan this year was in April, and I don't think there would be, like, snow on the ground in Kansas City in April.
Yeah, no.
So I think, like, my brain was a little lost on that. So he starts talking to his mom about Shida and the baby. And he says that Shida is trying to dupe him into having a child.
I wrote the same exact thing. I thought that was so hilarious. Because, like, I don't think she's trying to trick him into it.
Is she, like, poking holes in your condoms or something? Like, that's the only way I could understand, like, duping someone.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I don't really know. I think maybe she's trying to, like, manipulate him into having a child. Like, that I could understand.
Like, emotional manipulation.
Yeah. Yeah. And Bilal straight up says that he does not want a child right now. And when he was talking with his mom, she was like, well, you know, don't be stringing her along and, like, this stuff. So he says he's not. But at the same time, he fears that having a child too soon could cripple their marriage. And I agree.
Yeah, she says there's too many red flags and they need to sit down and discuss before having a child, which
yeah,
I do agree with. I mean, we didn't like Mama Bilal last season. She kind of sucked, but I do agree with her on this. Like, Bilal, the family Bilal is winning me over this episode.
Yeah, so we'll see what transpires. I don't think a child or a pregnancy is going to happen this season, but if they're back or something in the future.
Of course they are.
I'm sure that'll happen down the road.
I mean, we've had, like, 8 fucking seasons of Angela and Libby and Andre. Of course they're going to be back.
All right. Well, there you go. What do you want to head to next?
Sorry, I was reading my notes. Either
Kim. There's only 2 more.
I know. I was like, either the 2 other couples.
Because we're not touching on the other 2.
Let's go to Kimbali.
So Kimbali and Usman, a.k.a. Soulja Boy.
We're only going to do it once, I promise. Last week was kind of a lot.
So they are going out to dinner.
No, they were already out.
Oh, they were already out.
That was. It's the same night. It's still her, like, first night in
Nigeria. Yeah. So Kim says how she's fine with having a second wife if she never has to see the second wife.
Yeah, so they are meeting with Usman's friend who has a second wife and to talk about it to, like, make Kimbali more aware of, like, how it is.
Khabiru, which, like, if I said that correctly.
I didn't write his name down. Which is, like, totally a setup. Like,
yeah, 100%.
It's so bad.
It's just so he has someone on his side. So it's two against one.
Yeah. And of course, like 90 Day or like Matt Sharp or whatever was like, you guys should talk about the wives at dinner and have Kimberly be really pissed off. And then we'll bring your friend in.
So then the questions start. And Usman, aka Soulja Boy's friend, Kabiru.
I said we're only going to do it once.
Well, I did it again. So Kabiru, if I said it right, he mentioned Kaburi? Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
He said that you must treat all wives equally. And the more that Kim learns, the more she is now against the second wife.
Yeah, so wives are treated equally with love and respect, and everything that a husband provides is equal amongst the wives.
And Kim was like, you lied. This is not what you told me.
And his friend says that he has 9 children.
And congrats.
Kimberly was like, 9 children? And so Usman, you know, from that, thinks, well, I want 10 kids. And I can have them all like within, like, the next year.
4 wives. If this one has twins, and then this one's pregnant, and then that one's pregnant, and then we come back and we do it again. So within 2 years, I got 10 kids. I'm ready to go. It's like, dude, like, what is going through your head right now?
And the fact is, I do agree with Kimberly when she was like, I was trying to ask questions. Yeah. And Usman's like laughing or cutting her off. Like, he thinks it's a joke.
Yeah.
And she genuinely like wanted to learn more. And he's like, well, I'm going to have 10 kids with 4 wives in 3 years, and you'll be my first wife, but I'm going to have all of them.
Yeah. And then his friend also says how the wives should be friends to help build and strengthen the relationship between everyone. So it's like they're living one big happy family. And then Usman thinks Kim is saying all of this so that she can be okay with it, but she doesn't actually want to do it when, like, the rubber meets the road. Like, she's just saying she would have a second wife to, like, seem like she's easygoing and fun, but in reality, she's, like, not about it.
Yeah, so his friend says his wives live together. They live in the same house, and they are friends, and there's nothing better than when wives become friends. And I was like, what in the sister wives is going on here? And then Kim just throws a milkshake in Usman's face.
This is funny to you. This is funny.
Is that what she said?
No, that's what he said. He's like, yeah, this is funny.
Fucking idiot.
She's like, this is funny to you? He's like, yeah, this is funny. Okay. So she smacks the milkshake all over his face.
Okay, so me and Jonathan were talking about this last night before we went to bed after watching 90 Day. This whole thing comes down to they sold each other the wrong story.
100%. He told her that if I have second wife, you're the first wife, so you're gonna get the more love and like all this stuff. And she was like, yeah, that's fine. And then at the same time, I feel like she was never okay with it from Jump Street, but she was infatuated with him and was like, oh, this relationship is so great and all this stuff. So she just agreed to it.
Yeah, I feel like he told her, like, I want to be with you. I want to marry you. But, you know, having a kid is important, so I need to have that second wife. But I'll give you all my love, all my attention. She's just pretty much a child bearer for me. And she was like, okay, I'll do it for you. Mm-hmm. But did he really think she was going to be cool with the whole second wife thing when she finds out a fucking song named Zara is about a specific woman named Zara and flips out?
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to the thing where if it quacks like a duck, it's a duck.
If it quacks like a duck and acts like a duck, it must be a duck.
So how many times have we seen the same story with Usman, a.k.a. Soulja Boy? I mean, come on. It's the same thing over and over again. Like, you should know at this point what he is and what he's about. And to me, it seems like he wants to come here to help build his brand, but also have his brand be big in Nigeria and be able to go back and forth.
I mean, didn't his friend say, or did Usman say before the milkshake got thrown?
International superstar.
That he could bring the kid over to America.
Yeah. His friend mentioned that.
He was like, the fuck? No.
So you're going to bear the kid and then I'm just going to raise it?
Yeah. Fuck that.
Yeah, it was a very, very strange scenario. So that was like end of their first part. And then in the second, they come back and Kim is pissed. Like, she is super pissed off, super annoyed. She doesn't think Usman understands what she's saying. And I don't think so either. But they don't understand each other, which is the biggest issue in all of this. And Usman thinks that Kim is revealing her true attitude and her true colors. Which, yeah, I mean, like we kind of just alluded to, they both said things that weren't really true in order to get the other to agree to it. So,
yeah,
they both sold each other on, you know, they were the used car salesman.
They were. I mean, I did write Usman is gaslighting Kimberly.
Of course.
Because, I mean, that when they're in the hotel room together and he's like telling her, like, we'll just go home. Like, you were never going to agree to this. Like, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's gaslighting 101. Like, if you watch that scene, you know what gaslighting is.
Yeah.
So, but miscommunication between them is just going to be the end of them. They've always 100%. Miscommunicated. I mean, that's like the concept of 90 Day Fiancé, right?
Yeah.
But...
And then even that, like, Kim doesn't think that Usman's being authentic and he never finds fault with his own actions. And at that point, this is when, you know, she walks out of the hotel room and she regrets that she even came in the first place.
Yeah. And she's like, I'm going to find money and I'm going to find a flight and go home. And Usman's like, okay, go home. It's like, all right, fuck you too. So she walks out of the hotel room, like Jonathan just said, and Usman, like 2 minutes later, follows her out and they start arguing in like the parking lot where like the 90 Day crew is like behind this pillar and you can't really see them, but they're still mic'd up so you can hear everything.
Right.
And then their scene ends.
Yeah. So, and essentially from that too, Kim mentions how she wants the second wife to also live with her terms and her opinions rather than just Usman's, which I get, but that's not how like his culture is.
Oh yeah, that was a big thing. Is that like she keeps saying, well, I'm adapting to your culture, this isn't my culture, and Usman's like, well, I had sex, that's not my culture.
It's like, come on, my guy.
Like, okay, when someone calls sex or your dick yammy or
power bike
or fertilizer or whatever, like, bro, that's your culture. Like, you're getting it in. Like, give me a fucking break.
So Usman also thinks Kim agreed to show him how easygoing she was, but now it's reality, so she's not okay with it. And Usman thinks it's better to call everything off now because of the way that Kim is acting. And she's not going to agree to everything, so it's better to cut everything off now rather than prolong it. And then Kim ultimately is downstairs, and they're going back and forth about everything. And then that's kind of where their story for that scene, at least, ends for today.
For today. All right, you want to move on to our last couple?
Andre and Libby, my guy Andre.
How now, brown cow?
Yeah, warming up your voice there. So Andre's dad is coming to visit.
You just skipped. Okay.
That was the first thing that happened.
The first thing is she's at a vocal coach.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
She's leaving the house.
No, she's not. She's there. Fuck out of here. Go.
Remember last week who was right?
And we're going to go watch the scene right after
she
this.
She leaves to go to the voice lesson.
No, she doesn't.
And we
she's
find out that Andre's
already dad
is coming to visit.
No, she's there already and she's warming up her voice. And she's going, how now, brown cow? I remember. I'm totally right.
All right, so singing for her is therapeutic.
Anyway, the next scene she says Andre's dad is coming.
All right, so singing for her is therapeutic. No one in the family sang, so she felt like she wasn't supported by anybody.
She says that she felt like her family made fun of her and ridiculed her. It's like, what a shitty family to live in.
Seems pretty accurate, though, given the fact that we've seen this family for a couple of years now. It seems pretty on point.
Oh, yeah.
Could definitely see Becky doing that. So she felt like she wasn't supported. I would say when she was singing with Roxy was her name, right? So
I don't know. You get all the names.
I try. But it seems like Libby wasn't great, but she wasn't terrible. So I think there is some talent there. It's just a matter of, is she going to actually sing or is she just going to sing nursery rhymes? Which in that case, I feel like is just trying to be catchy and get on your child's iPad.
So I didn't mind her voice. It cracks a little. She does the like vocal fry kind of thing where she changes like her
pitch.
There we go. But it's not bad. This is such a ploy for Andre and Ellie's YouTube channel that they have and like all that shit.
Yeah, just pair it all together.
Yeah, I mean, the vocal coach is like, it's a saturated market. Like, you sure you want to get into this?
Yeah.
And then she sings, like, Mary Had a Little Lamb or whatever. And the Itsy Bitsy Spider.
Yeah. So Libby says how it felt amazing to be back at singing. And she just wants to make sure she's fully ready to commit to this 100%. Because of how difficult it is to make it as a musician in today's society.
So then they are back at the house and she's like singing in the living room. Or no, this was before. I don't remember. Okay, we're going to go back to that. Sorry. So she's singing in the living room. Don't know if this is the scene or not. But she's singing, and, like, Andre is really happy for her.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really cute. It was, like, a good, like, insight into their marriage that is not, like, 90 day.
Right.
Or, like, OF or anything like that.
No, I agree.
Like,
yeah.
It was a good,
he's
like,
being supportive.
Very supportive of her. Okay, so anyway, so Andre's dad is visiting for a few months.
Yes.
And his mom can't come because of the visa process with COVID. Understandable. And Andre wants to show him the American way of living.
Yeah. And Libby's also been working on her Romanian.
Oh, is that? I wrote Moldovan.
Wow. Wow.
I didn't know what they spoke. I'm sorry.
You gotta Google?
That's like people from Denmark, like they speak Danish. Or no, not, that's not the one I'm thinking of. The people that speak Dutch.
The Netherlands.
People are like, oh, you speak Neanderthal. And it's like, well, that is a caveman and it's called Dutch.
So Libby's been working on her Romanian. So she's able to better communicate with Andre's dad, which makes sense and shows that she is also supportive in that sense. So he comes into the house, says how beautiful it is, and his dad is very proud of Andre and the life that him and Libby are building in the U.S.
Yeah, I mean, Andre says that he grew up in an apartment. We saw it last or two seasons ago, however effing long they've been on the show. And Andre's like, yeah, we built this house. Like, they were saying that the kitchen that Libby and Andre had, it could fit, like, three of the kitchens that his parents have. So, yeah. It was a cute scene. And then they go to get ice cream.
And Andre tells his dad about the party.
Oh, my God. he tells his dad about Pam and how Pam's like, you drink too much. You're like Charlie. You're an alky. All this stuff.
And then Libby comes in and says how she told Pam she needs to get together with Andre and fix the situation. But Andre thinks Pam doesn't understand that Charlie has a drinking problem and she's going to find herself on the same list as Charlie.
Yeah. Andre's just like cutting people. He's like, you're done. You're done.
I mean,
you're done.
Like, I don't blame him.
Me neither. I mean, Pam is totally in denial that Charlie's an alcoholic.
Yeah, yeah. She's a mother.
Yeah, which I understand, but if everyone's telling... She's one of those typical denial people that are like...
Not my son.
Not my son. You're the alcoholic.
Yeah, it's deflecting.
Yeah, 100%.
so, they... What was the next part?
That's when Libby is singing.
Got it. Yeah, and he goes, you sound nice.
Yeah. Forgot about that.
Yeah. So he's like, you sound nice. And we find out that Andre doesn't like Eminem.
Yeah, what the fuck was that? She's like, Libby goes, unreal. Do you not like any of the songs I sing? And he goes, when you sing Eminem. And I was like, why are you singing?
I was like, bro, how could you not like Eminem? How do you not like Slim? You don't like Shady? Marshall Mathers? Come on.
I'm Marshall Mathers.
So then Andre is leaving to meet with Pam.
Are you saying Pam or Pan?
Pam. Oh, there's two M's. Pam. No, just one. So Andre is meeting with Pam at the coffee shop. And he says how he will not change his mind about Charlie.
Pam thinks that Andre at the housewarming party was disrespectful. And she wants everyone to go to her birthday party. And Andre flat out goes, no.
It is not going to happen.
Which I don't blame him.
No,
I
not
don't
at
blame
all.
Him.
Not
Why
at all.
Would you subject yourself to a party where there's liquor's going to be flowing? And the guy that you busted his ass next to a pool and Chuck was crying like a little baby, that you would want to see him.
Yeah. It goes back to the thing, too. Like, what value does this add to your life?
None.
And then Pam's trying to position him. We're like, oh, where you guys are isolating yourselves. And it's like, what are you talking about? Like, between everyone else, like, at the housewarming party, it was fine, except when you brought up the Charlie thing. Everything, for the most part, was fine with Becky and Chuck and everyone else.
It's just coming down to TLC needs a storyline for them.
For sure.
Besides Libby singing.
Yeah.
And so now the storyline is Andre is isolating his family from the rest of family Libby.
Yeah, which... I think all he's really doing is not subjecting himself to being in the same environment as Charlie, which to that, it also seems like Becky and Jen are doing that as well. They're most likely going to the party, but they also mentioned at the housewarming party that they don't want to be in the presence of Charlie either until he gets help.
The thing is, like, Charlie doesn't bring value to Andre, and he's protecting his family.
Yeah, he straight up said he doesn't want to expose his family to that kind of behavior.
Which I don't blame him.
Nope.
But then Pam ends the conversation saying that Andre is a coward. This man who's fucking 6'7".
She's like, you need to face your problems head on. You're a coward. It's like, what are you talking about?
You're like, fuck off, Pam.
How is he a coward? He's taking the high road and just not...
Finally taking the high road.
And just not associating himself with Charlie. And he even said he's cutting the family off from Charlie, not from the whole family, just from him specifically. And then he says how if Pam is going to continue, how she's going to get the same treatment.
Which she should.
Because what's going to happen is you're going to invite her to something and she's going to bring Charlie.
It comes to a point that, like, Jen has been a fucking bitch to Andre the entire time him and Libby have been married.
Yeah.
But he has never told Libby, I don't want you hanging out with Jen.
Yeah.
I mean, Charlie's done really fucked up shit to Andre. And so he's finally taking a stand, which good for him.
If it was me, after the wedding situation, I would have never spoken to him again in my entire life.
No.
And I don't even care, like, what the apology was, like, whatever it was. You're cut. You're done. You're out.
I can't. Imagine just telling people that your wife was taking advantage of her dad for money.
And you just came to the, you wanted to get married so that you could go to the U.S. and get a green card.
Yeah. Like, in front of all of your family and friends.
And he just, and Andre just, like, let him talk.
Fucking I. So that was this episode. For, we didn't get any Jovi and Yara.
So I'm assuming next go around there'll be two or three scenes of them.
So, for next time on, Jenny and Sumit go ziplining. Seems fun as shit.
Hell yeah.
Jenny says that they should move to the United States. Knew that was going to happen.
We've been telling you this for weeks now.
And Sumit says his first priority is his parents, not Jenny.
Jenny will never be the first priority. Never. We know this.
Never. Sister Libby, Jen and the other one, Becky, are going to Pam's party and say that Andre or Libby is isolating themselves. And then we get Russia invading Ukraine, so Yara is pretty upset about it, which, like, really blame her. And then Kim and Usman continue to fight.
Typical.
What would you rate this episode?
4.
Yeah, it wasn't that good.
Not great.
Not great. What would you rate this season so far?
I thought it was pretty good up until this.
Yeah,
so
I agree.
So I'd say like a 7 or an 8.
I was going to say like a 6.
Yeah.
This episode really brought it down for me.
Yeah, up until now, I would have given it like an 8. Because of this episode, I think I'll give it a 7 or 7.5.
I agree. I heard The Single Life's pretty good, but we're not going to watch it. Sorry, not sorry. Pillow Talk, might have to start tuning in because John is on it. And then I realized, I don't think we ever spoke about the end of The Family Chantel.
I don't think so, but everyone already knows what happened.
Okay, well, they're divorced.
Yeah.
Pedro sucks.
Yeah.
I had a dream about them. Oh my God, I'll tell you offline. I had a dream that Pedro was on The Single Life and so was Nicole. So they brought Nicole and Lydia back too.
That'd be terrible.
I really hope that doesn't happen.
Please don't.
Chantel supposedly is dating Drake, or he slid in her DMs. Don't really know how real that is.
It's all a lie. It's all just the stirrup drama.
That's pretty much it. You have anything else?
No, I think that's pretty much it. Excited to continue this season. Hopefully we get more more drama, more heightened stuff, and hopefully Andre beats up Charlie again.
Are we going to have an episode next week?
I don't believe so.
Okay, that's what I figured. So we're going away for the weekend, long weekend. First vacation for us in like over a year.
Yeah.
So I think we're just going to disconnect. So we're probably not going to have an episode next week. If we do, it wouldn't come out till Wednesday, the earliest. So sorry in advance. I know you guys will miss us a ton. But thank you for listening this week. Really appreciate it. Rate us 5 stars. Leave a comment.
And then we'll be back on October 3rd.
Yes, we will. We will be back on October 3rd. Follow us on Instagram, 90day_ourway. If you want to hear about betting and sports and stuff, follow the JK pod. What else do you talk about?
That's pretty much it.
Really selling yourself.
Perfect 6 of 6 on Friday.
Whoa!
So yeah, pretty good. 68% last week. So looking good. In the green.
Go Titans. They play tonight against the Bills.
Tighten up.
thanks for listening. Really appreciate it. And we'll see you on October 3rd.
Thank y'all. Take care. Appreciate it.
Bye.